We are in, we're going to kind of move to just the message here. We're in our series that we're calling Back to Basics. And this is the third week of our five-week series that we're just looking at, Back to Basics. And so we want to talk about basic stuff. 2 weeks ago, we talked about creation. That was awesome. I really was blessed, I know, just kind of getting to prepare that message. Last week, we talked about rebellion. We talked about the fall, like Adam and Eve taking a little bite of that fruit. Remember that? And they're just chewing away. And they rebel against God. And in that comes evil. Evil kind of is kind of birthed out of that. And evil comes onto the scene in a way that kind of was not experienced before. And now, and last week we talked about this. I don't know if you've been thinking about last week, but I am still thinking about last week. Like evil and how close it is to us. How it's in our very hearts and how it's tainted all of creation and it's kind of put a stain on it. It's darkened it and it's even in us. It's not just out there. It's even in us. Remember that? That's powerful stuff, okay? And I was asking the question why and us trying to pawn evil off on everybody else but not finding it in our own hearts. And I kind of brought this kind of I tried to bring this thought of, well, maybe evil is closer to you than you realize. Okay? Now, today, we're actually going to be talking about, well, how do we solve that problem of evil? How do we take care of that? And there's really two points today's message, and it's this. God is involved. Okay? We don't have them up on the screen, but God is involved, and God loves us. Back to the basics, right? This is just really easy, simple stuff that I'm going to kind of try to unpack and try to bring that teaching this morning. The scripture that I want us to look at is Ezekiel chapter 36. And just listen to these words this morning, okay? Now, I realize nobody knows who Ezekiel is. No one knows what the heck is going on. Okay, I get that. I'm going to teach that, okay? Here we go. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man. When the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. This is his people here. They profaned my holy name in that people, other people said of them, these are the people of the Lord? That's interesting. These are the people of the Lord, and yet they had to go out of the land of Israel? What's up with that? But I had concern, watch this, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Man, oh man, that's powerful. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Let's say a prayer. Now we're going to dive in. Holy Spirit, open up our hearts now to receiving your word. Do that work in us this morning that only you can do. God, we come with lots of different scenarios in our lives right now, lots of different situations going on. But in all of it, Lord, meet us in speaking to us. Let my words, Lord, be only your words. Let me not say a word more or a word less than what you desire from us this morning, from me. calm my nerves now, and please bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First point, just 2 points today. Usually I go 3, 4, 5, 6, you know what I'm saying? Just two. God is personally involved. God has personally involved himself. Lately, my boy Core is actually this coming week, he's looking to maybe join a baseball, the fall ball. You guys ever have your kids in fall ball? Yeah, some nods in the room, right? Fall ball is coming up. And so I got a hold of the lady who's like in charge of all of fall ball. And I'm asking them, I'm like, okay, how do I get my kids signed up for this month or 5 weeks or whatever of ball? How can I get him connected so that he can play baseball and do the coach pitch and all this stuff? And as I'm talking to this guy, he tells me, oh yeah, at that point it was a guy. I was talking to him. I don't even know who I was talking to. I was trying to just find somebody. And at some point, the person asks me, okay, it was just fascinating because, and you'll know exactly where I'm going with this. The person asks me, yeah, that's great that your kid wants to be involved. Hey, do you want to coach? You guys ever been asked that one? Hey, do you want to coach? And it's just so funny because literally that's all I'm trying to do is get my kid signed up for baseball. This would be good. I literally love I love baseball so much. So when they ask me, do you want to coach? In my brain, I'm like, well, I mean, it's already going to be difficult for us. Already it's going to be frustrating for us, like, you know, different nights and all, blah, 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 not even knowing the schedule, all this kind of stuff, trying to make stuff happen. But now you want me to coach. Now, I love baseball. I actually can't stand watching it on TV, but it's my favorite sport to play. I love baseball so much. And so I'm like, man, that would be a lot of fun to coach. But here's the deal. I know that if I involve myself in this, it goes to another level, doesn't it? I mean, if I just show up and just kind of watch my kid play baseball, which I would love to do and I think would be so much fun, that would be great. But I could just kind of sit back in my chair, sip some coffee, it'd be awesome. But if I involve myself in coaching, I know my own personality, and I know my own personality is going to get our whole family dragged in even further. You know what I'm saying? And now we got to win, and now it's got to be the best, and now we're going to take them on. It's going to, you know, and I just know that because I know me. And have you ever done that? Have you ever involved yourself in some project that you know that because of your personal involvement in that project, that thing will succeed? Right? We do this all the time. Because when you've attached your name to it, when you've attached your personal kind of touch on it, your personal involvement in it, you will make sure that it gets done, right? This happens. You know, sometimes you do some of the activities you do, like up in your attic, and you have to get stuff done. Well, that's not a big deal. You just kind of throw some duct tape around it, no big deal. But if that project is out in the front yard, you know, everybody drives by and everybody associates that project with you, say, then you're spending time and your lines are really straight when you mow and all this stuff, see? Because your name is attached to it. You're personally involved in it. It might be starting a business. I mean, this is small business kind of people who start a new business or start into some project. They're going to make sure it gets done because they are connected with it. And people, when they associate and see the project, they're going to see you're connected. See, God has been involved personally in creation from the very beginning. This is why 2 weeks ago was so important, because as we unpack the creation story, as we unpack the creation narrative, what do we see? We see God involving himself, not creating and stepping back, okay, which would be like kind of in line with like maybe Greek mythology or some of the Greek gods, where it was kind of like creation kind of happens and then there's a stepping back and we kind of do our more important things up here in the heavenly spiritual realm. But instead, God creates and then we actually see him leaning forward. So much so that he plunges his hands, remember I shared this, into the dirt as he gets intricately involved in the creation of man. And out of that, we start to see him like in Genesis 3:8. This is right after the fall. And this I have on the screen for you. It's actually like he comes to walk in the coolness of the day. He's interacting with his creation. Why? Well, because he's delighted in his creation. He's put it together. It's his baby. You know? It's his project. It's his thing. And he's connecting himself to it. And instead of pulling back, he leans in. Now, this is why that Ezekiel text is really fascinating to me. It's why we're diving into a text that's very, it feels a little out of place. Like, who's Ezekiel? What the heck does that have to do with the Bible? I mean, it's in there. Okay, great. But why are you using that? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22 says this, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God." Watch this. Some of you will be hearing this for the very first time. And for some of you, most of you, it will be you who are like Christians for your whole lives. Have you ever heard this? Look at this. If you've been a Christian your whole life, you're the one who I'm like, you're going to kind of react to this. You're going to be like, huh? Watch this. "Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake. It is not for your sake that I am about to act. But for the sake of my holy name." It isn't for your sake that I'm about to act, but I'm going to act, I'm going to do something for the sake of my holy name. You see where that kind of starts to rub you? Because see, what do we always talk about? Oh, God loves me. You know, God loves us all in love and love and just love. Everything's love. You know what I'm saying? It's just love, 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 love. Kelly, I should have had you come up and like dance in like a tutu up here. That would have been so, people would never have forgot this sermon. People would never have forgot. But yeah, I got to think, I got to be a little more creative. Kelly back here in a tutu, that'd be great, Kelly. Kelly's the big guy in the back. Okay. But you know, as I'm thinking about that, we're always talking about love. But here, this text is saying like, it isn't for your sake, it's for my name's sake that I'm about to do something. See, when we start talking just about love, 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 God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, what can happen over time is you can actually start to build out a narrative or kind of a storyline where you start to say things like, well, of course God will love me. Look at my life. I mean, I'm pretty good. I have life pretty much put together. I'm kind of cute. My family's pretty great. Yeah, life is pretty good. And we start to almost kind of build this narrative where we almost get to a point where we say, of course God would love me. But see, what's the context here? What's the context? The context is his people who have profaned his holy name. Now, what's going on there? Let me just stop and just kind of drop what's going on. Okay, the Israelites had been, remember, in slavery in Egypt for like 400 years? Do you remember that story? And then Moses comes and he walks across the Red Sea with all those people. And then they enter the land of Canaan. This happens around like, we don't know exact, but probably like 1440 BC-ish. Okay? And the people of God, the Israelites, are in Israel then for like 800 plus years. 800 plus years they're in Israel with different kings and judges, and sometimes they're obedient to God, sometimes they're not obedient, sometimes they're doing really well, sometimes they're not doing well. People like King David are part of this time, or King Solomon. I'm just kind of, in case you kind of know some of these people, it's okay if you don't, but some of these characters play out as you read through some of this Old Testament stuff, okay? And God is working with his people. Well, at some point, and it's actually around 586 BC, we know this historically, 586, 587 BC, the Babylonians come into Jerusalem itself, and they tear down the walls, and they burn it, and they take the really rich people especially, and the most educated people, and they take them out into exile. Well, Ezekiel is one of these guys who's taken probably, he's probably writing chapter 36 here, while in exile in Babylon, okay? 580, somewhere in there, BC, is when he's writing this. And one of the things he's saying is, he's saying, God has attached his name to you as a people, And what you have done is you've turned to other gods. You've went your own way. You've done your own thing. You've been yourself. You've served yourself. You haven't served God. You haven't done what he's asked you to do. You've gone your own way. And in doing this, you've profaned the name of God. And it's fascinating, and we're not going to have time to really get into it. But verse 20, we don't have it on the screen, but verse 20 actually says, the reason, the big push here is that other nations will look at you and essentially say, what? Aren't you a people of Yahweh, God? Aren't you the people of Yahweh? Aren't you the people of God? And God is like, you people annoy the heck out of me because you're not just serving me. You're not just, I'm your God. You're my people. And you profane my name when you drag my name in with this project that isn't looking very good. And so now you're in Babylon. And this is the context, and this is the situation where Ezekiel comes and says, but I'm about to do something. But it's not at the end of the day, at its most fundamental level, it's not for your sake, it's for my sake. It's for my name's sake. He's God. He is God, by the way. He gets the glory. He gets the honor, which is fascinating here because he has so created this world with so much care and compassion and joy, and there's so much of that going on in creation that as it begins to spin out of control, he continues to lean into it with this thought, I will do something for my name's sake. Some of you are hearing that for the first time. This should actually bring you incredible comfort. It should bring you incredible peace. Because God, here's the take home for you today. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something in your life. But it's not like God's over here, you're over here. I kind of wave to make something happen over there in your life and you kind of just go, no. He involves himself in your life. He personally gets close to you. And now all of a sudden, his own reputation is on the line. You see that? His own reputation is on the line. Not your reputation, his reputation is on the line. That should bring you more comfort than simply this thought of, well, my reputation's on the line. Please help me, God. He's involved. That's a powerful thing. My second point is simply this. Well, yeah, let's just move on. The second point is the point that you all think about all the time. Okay. He does love us. He does love us. And we actually see that in Ezekiel here. Ezekiel 36, he says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is verse 35, and you shall be clean. Last week we had a baptism, April and Anna. It was so powerful, getting to see literally the waters of baptism come upon them. And this, I would say, is prophetic of baptism even here. I'm going to put a new heart. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And those of you who used to not be Christians and now are Christians, you know that text. You know what I'm saying? You get that. You're like, yes, I get that text. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I have such deep love and compassion for you. I care about you so much. And this makes sense to us. Come on. You got to understand this. We get this one. We get it as I look at my kids and I think of the times where they've gotten themselves in a bind. Those times where they've gotten themselves into a pickle. It might even be something as silly as, I can't tie my shoes or something, Dad. And what do? Well, we love our kids. We love our kids. And so we step in closer and we tie the shoe. Or a worst case scenario, they're on the road and we run out in the road and we grab them and get them out of the road. Of course we would do that. We love our kids. This is why this isn't a super difficult kind of concept to get until until you understand last week's message. Then it gets more complicated. See, if we're all cute and cuddly, of course we're going to love our kids. I love my kids. They're all so cute. They're my kids. But see, when evil starts to come into the scene and we begin to rebel against God and we turn our backs on him and we start to drag his name through the mud, now God's stepping in. It feels different, doesn't it? And we actually get to a place where we all almost start to wonder, well, maybe God will, okay, maybe he'll do it for his name's sake, but does he do it because he loves me? Well, let's go back to the basics. John 3:16, right? For God so loves the world that he gave his one and only son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He loves his creation. He created it with delight. He leaned in. He didn't back up. And then he's got to conjure up love in his heart. Okay, I got to go back into love mode. No. He's loved us from the beginning. He loves his creation. He's leaning in. Even as it begins to rebel against him and spiral out of control, even as you might say it gets worse and worse, he leans in even further. Why? It's his baby. His name's on the line. He loves us. See, because right now is the time where some of you say this, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You weren't there when that moment happened in my life. You weren't there, and we talked about some very specific things last week about evil, right? You weren't there when I committed a murder. Well, we don't think there's people in this room that have committed murder? Really? You weren't there when I had the affair. I can't believe I did that to my family. Well, we don't think there's people in here that haven't committed adultery? Yeah, but you weren't there when I had the abortion. What, we don't think there's people in here that haven't had an abortion? Yeah, but you weren't there when I leaned into the company and took all that money. Well, we don't think there's people in here that haven't embezzled money? Yeah, but you weren't there when this deep thought of hatred came into my mind with this. What? You weren't there when I, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. See, here's the deal. We've all done it. Not maybe the specific thing that some of us have done, but we're all in the same boat, folks. That's all about last week's message. We've all rebelled against God. This is the teaching of Jesus that's so hard. Okay, maybe you haven't committed adultery. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Have you ever hated somebody? Have you ever pop, 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 pop? And Jesus drives it so deep into our hearts. And he reveals the evil that's within each of us. Every one of us. And it's precisely at that moment where we start to wonder, does he actually love me? Does he love me? How can he love me? How? But see, you're his creation. You're his creature. He's not only created you, but he's involved himself in your life from the very beginning. You are created in the very image of God. This is another Genesis text. This is why this whole series comes together. And next week's message is going to bring it even home even more clearly. All of these things hinge so closely together. God created you. He's involved himself in your life. He loves you. And he leans in more and more. And we see that taking place all through the scriptures. For some reason, there's this kind of thing that's taken place sometimes, especially for people who are Christians and who are part of the church for a long time, where we start to read the scriptures and we're looking for people who are of good moral character and we want to emulate them. Listen to this. We've been reading some of this book lately. Some of one of our leadership teams here at The Dwelling has been reading through this book. Chad Bird is the author, Night Driving Notes from a Prodigal Soul. And on page 12, so early on in the book, he says this. He says, there's going to be, if you read through the scriptures and you were to take some of the stories and put them in the headlines today, here's some of the things you'd read. Here's some of the things that would make the headlines from the Bible. This is from the stories of the Bible. You'd see this. Brother murders brother in a fit of jealous rage. Right? Spiritual leader discovered drunk and naked in his home. That's in there, folks. That's in the Bible. Little guy named Noah. Husband's lies place wife in danger of sexual assault. Militants kidnap family during raid. Wife lets husband father a child with a maid. That'd make a soap opera today. I'm going to move through these a little faster. Gang of men attempt to rape a man's guests. Two daughters impregnated by an inebriated father. Twin brother deceives blind father and steals from absent brother. Man in polygamous household faces constant family strife. Ha, that's funny to me. Mass slaughter perpetrated by brothers to avenge sister's rape. Eldest son sleeps with his father's lover. Jealous brothers sell younger brother into slavery. And it just, bah, 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 bah. Just go read the Bible. Just go read it. This is who God's dealing with. People just like us. People just like us. And he leans in, and he leans in closer and closer. How close does he get? Well, he comes. He comes. And he goes to the cross. And he dies. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He puts on flesh. And now the God-man who puts on flesh and blood for you and for me. And he sheds his perfect blood for us. And then he doesn't just die. He dies. He does. He dies. But he doesn't just die then. He defeats sin there. And then in his resurrection, he defeats even death itself. So even when death begins to try to grasp onto you, even when it seems like death does have you, it just grabs you with slippery fingers. Even death grabs with just these slippery fingers because of Christ's death and resurrection for you. This is my take-home point today. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, no matter how big of a thing you've done, it's never bigger than what God has done. It's never bigger than what God has done for you. The cross is bigger than murder. The cross is bigger than adultery. The cross is bigger than you name the sin. You name where you've been. The cross is bigger. The tomb, the empty tomb, is bigger than death itself. This is why we zero in on Christ crucified and risen. And we zero in, and next week we're going to talk more about the very return of Christ and what that brings. Not only redemption, which is all about today's message, but restoration. What's that going to look like? Man, talk about we should play Judy's thing next week. You see that? Miss Judy was the one who was up on the screen doing the video. No matter what you've done, what God has done is always bigger. It just is. Where will you turn? Where will you turn today? I want to end with this quote by C.S. Lewis. I've been bringing him up a little bit, but C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity, says this, to what will you turn? To what will you look for help? To what will you look for help if you will not look to that which is stronger than yourself? To what will you look for help if you won't look to that which is stronger than yourself. And if you get honest, this is spending some time looking in the mirror. When you get honest, you're weaker than you realize. There's some people in this room who look at and hear this message and we hear, yeah, but I've never murdered somebody. Yep, so I'm not actually that bad. And it's precisely, it's one of the most dangerous places to actually be. It's one of the most dangerous. I find myself in this spot, quite honestly, because I've never killed somebody. Okay, like maybe somebody in this room has. Okay, but we can sometimes find ourselves in a place where we start to think, well, of course God's going to love me. I'm not that bad. But when we stop and we look in the mirror and we do some honest reflection, we're weaker than we realize. Evil is closer to us than we realize. And so we look to the one who has involved himself in our lives from the very beginning, whose very name is on the line. His own reputation is at stake. And then doesn't just stop there, but actually loves us deeply enough to actually come to save us. He loves us. Where will you turn? Turn to the one who's stronger than yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we turn our hearts and our attention now to you because you are the one who has so intricately involved, you've personally involved yourself in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We're sorry for where we have pushed you aside to go our own way. We thank you for the stories, especially in the Old Testament, stories like Ezekiel, where the people are just constantly forgetting about you, and then remembering, and then forgetting, and then remembering, and then forgetting, and then remembering, having to go into exile with the Assyrians. Then you take them back to Israel. Then they go back into this Babylon, and then you bring them back. And there's just this constant struggle. And when we're honest, we see ourselves right there in the middle of it, Lord. We're right there too. And I thank you that you don't just forget about us, Lord, but that you come and continue to pursue us. That relentless love song is so well chosen by Jeffrey, and that's what you do. You continue to come after us because you love us, but even more than that, ultimately, and at the most fundamental level, for your own name's sake, you will act. You will act and you will receive the glory. Jesus, I think of that picture in Philippians, the book in the Bible where it talks about every knee in the end bowing down before you. That will happen. We will bow before you, all nations. And you will receive your glory. We thank you for being the one true living God. Thank you, O God. We're sorry for our sin. And this morning, there's some people that have done some incredible things. But ultimately, we're all in the same boat. We've all rebelled against you. Evil is close to us. It's in our very hearts. And we repent of that this morning. We are sorry, Lord, for our sin. Please forgive us. Please forgive us, Lord. We love you, Lord. We're just going to keep following you. We're going to keep learning from you until you return. Please return soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me leave you with a blessing, and then the Lord bless you. Lord, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace this week. No matter what you've done, what he's done is always bigger. Go, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. The Lord bless you.